So, but what I want to do is speak from 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. But here's how that goes. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let's pray together. Our Lord, as we look at these ancient words, we come to you, the Father, forever, our eternal Father, the one who goes back into eternity past, the one who will lead us into eternity future. And we ask you to guide us, dear Father in heaven, by your Spirit this morning. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, among those articles that I read about Father's Day was one that said, it's time for a masculinity overhaul. When you got Chris Rock slapping up a... Alex Smith slapping Chris Rock, you're right, sorry, wrong guy. When you got Vladimir Putin slapping everybody around. When you got the Proud Boys busting into the Capitol with their friends. And you've got a gunman in Uvalde, Texas. It seems like we got to make some changes, don't we? And one of those changes seems to be has to do with how we see masculinity in a changing world. And for us as Christians, it's how we see courage in a world that seems to be going haywire. And we want to start slapping people around and maybe other things. But the Lord says, wait, I have another way. And that's the way, remember that it was in Corinth. Corinth was a red light city. It was a place that was not a morally pure place. It was Las Vegas. And maybe worse. And Paul says here, as he goes through the issues in the church, which were wild because of the culture they'd come through. And he says, I want you to have courage. Now, when we think about courage, the courage that we are to have, there's some human approaches to courage. And I want to take you, if you'll forgive me, fathers, you know, this is going to be a short little grammar lesson, but it's important here. This comes out of our men's group, a discussion that we've had, as we said, wait a minute, what does it say? Because there are differences in translation in this text. How many of you have the English Standard Version, the ESV, before you? Anybody? A few of you, okay. Or maybe use it at home. Many of you have the Pew Bible, the New International Version in front of you. If you look at that, you're going to see some differences. So the ESV says, act like men. The NIV says, be courageous. And the truth of the matter is that they're both right. Because they are both going back to a dictionary of that language. They're making a translation, trying to translate a word that doesn't exist in English. Now the root of that word has to do with manliness, and yet Paul is writing to more than men in Corinth, and so what do you do with that? And so one translation, and I'm sure some others, says, act like a man. But the woman might have been sitting there saying, wait a minute, how can I act like a man? I mean, Margaret Thatcher definitely was a woman of courage and of fortitude, but you wouldn't dare say, Margaret, boy, you just acted like a strong man right there. No, I mean, you probably would not have a happy conversation with Margaret. But you could say to a group of guys, act like men. However, Paul is saying something different here than our culture says in terms of acting like a man. The challenge is looking, trying to see what does it look like the difference between human courage and biblical courage. And so if you think of, there's a lot of examples, Wendy just read a whole bunch of examples of biblical courage. But if we go back into the scriptures, starting with Genesis, we see all kinds of bad examples of human courage. So think about Samson going into Delilah. Or Saul and Goliath, as compared to David and Goliath. Or Eli and his sons, whom he never... I mean, that's sometimes Father's Day messages, how not to be a dad. How to be a bad dad is messages about Eli. Or Adam and Eve and their little conversation with the serpent at the beginning of time. Or Abraham and the Egyptian, Samson, when he went to the Philistines, Peter and a sweet little middle school girl who was questioning his memory there as Jesus was being led to crucify. Or Paul, when John Mark, a young understudy, wasn't cooperating with all that he wanted with Paul's development plan for him. There were a lot of things that didn't go right because of human initiative, human courage, human attempts at manliness or strong womanhood that we see in the scripture. The problem is that it gets us in trouble, just like it did with Adam and Eve when they took things into their own hands. There's a different model in scripture, and I'd like us to look at that by thinking about the biblical story. So look over to Hebrews chapter 11. You look over in Hebrews 11 in that long list that Wendy read for us. We see faith defined as people who are sure about something that they can't see. Now and then there's a long list of our brothers and sisters in the faith. There's men and women. There's families that are listed here who had faith and courage to follow the Lord. We think that if we follow the Lord, everything is going to be peaches and cream. And if we look at that list, it's like, no, it's not a life of peaches and cream. It's a life sometimes of great difficulty, but of overcoming the difficulties in life, sometimes in ways as it was for them, in ways that we will never realize or we'll see until we get to heaven. But we follow the Lord anyway. And that's what we see in Hebrews chapter 11. They said that it began way back at the creation when God's people were called to believe in something they couldn't see. Now think about it. None of us can go back to the creation, and yet we see a story and the Lord says, okay, now believe this. And we've had a hard time believing it for thousands of years. But the Lord says, okay, believe it. You can't see it. And then he talks about the world to come in the book of Revelation. And he says, now believe that that is on the way. And everything in between. And then here in Hebrews, he talks about the different ones. He talks about Abel, who had integrity of faith. He talks about Enoch, who was taken from this life but did not experience death. He had a continuity of faith. Or there was Noah, who was all alone in his faith, but trusted the Lord with the rain that was promised. And Abraham, who focused his faith on the promise of God to make him a new family that would proclaim the good news to all of the earth. And it says here that they all died without seeing any of it come to pass. That's the way that it was for them. But then Abraham, believed in that God's blessing would come. Moses and his parents trusted in the Lord. Moses stood up to Pharaoh. Moses led God's people, thousands and thousands of God's people, men and women and children and the elderly, leading them across the Red Sea and on into the Promised Land. And then there was Gideon, who liberated God's people, and Barak, who freed God's people from 900 iron chariots, and Samson, who brought down the roof on God's enemies, and Jephthah, who was the son of a prostitute that defeated the Ammonites, and David, who was the top king of Israel, because of his pure heart, and Samuel, who spoke the word of God. And that was in a time when people didn't want to hear. But they believed God anyway. And so he concludes, he says, they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, they gained what was promised. Daniel and others apparently shut the mouths of lions. They quenched flames, they escaped swords, they routed foreign armies, they raised the dead, they endured floggings and chains and imprisonments and stoning and slicing and dicing, if you know what I mean, and death itself. They ran around, they weren't wearing the fine things of life. They were, many of them, wearing animal skins for clothing. And they were, some of them were destitute and persecuted and mistreated. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves. Some of them lived in holes in the ground or in a wall. And yet, the writer of Hebrews says, the world wasn't worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. This is what our ancestors, our fathers and mothers in the faith, that's how they practiced their faith. That's how they lived. And the difference is that they never saw what they had been promised. They were looking forward to Jesus, but they didn't know exactly what they were looking forward to. And we have Christ in our lives. We are forgiven through the work of Christ on our behalf. And we have the Holy Spirit of God that has come to live within us and gives us the same power that Barak and Gideon and Joshua and Deborah and all the boys and all the girls had, who were the leaders of God's people. When we look at our world today, I hope it's temporary, but doesn't it seem like we're in Corinth all over again? The Lord says, he says, it's all right. He says, I've been here before. I've led my people through. He said, my kingdom will not fail. Our friends going to the Dominican Republic, some for the first time, some for a return time, thinking, I can't do that. The Lord says, I've done it before. He says, I've used you here. He says, I will use you there. We look at our world today, the challenges that we face. And the Lord says, I've faced them before. We're not building your kingdom. He said, we're building mine. And nothing will stop the advancement of what I have planned to proclaim my glory in all of the earth. So where do we go with that? How do we have biblical courage? I'm trying to be real careful with this. I told one of my sons what I was going to talk about. He said, Dad, you can't say that on Father's Day. Okay, because a lot of what Father's Day is about digging in and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and being tough and strong and all that stuff. And there's a place for that. But I believe that what we see in Scripture is to admit our weakness. We can't do this. We can't follow the Lord with a supernatural calling. It's impossible, human terms. But the Christ that was resurrected from the dead lives in and through us. And the way that we begin is by dying to ourselves and saying, Jesus, I can't do this. I'm done with this. He says, okay, I got you just where I want you. And then we say, Lord, okay, would you just then come and fill me with your Spirit? Would you do more in and through me? Whether I'm going to the Dominican Republic, or I'm sitting in York County or Lancaster County for the next couple few weeks and on into the summer. Let's admit our weakness. Let's die to ourselves and ask the Lord to give us new beginnings, to be courageous in the power of Christ, and then to ask the Lord to take our slingshot, which we might not have done a whole lot with, but then to take that rock and throw it into the head of the giant, to shut the mouth of the lions in our lives or in our world, to bring miraculous births into our lives and into our world that we would never imagine, that would make us a resurrection people that preview the resurrection, to preview the world to come, that would break from the jails that confine us and keep us down and keep others away. Because Jesus said his kingdom's going to continue. And his power is greater than anything that we could imagine. And the basis of all of this, the basis of biblical courage, the basis of Christian courage, is Christ in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Paul writes in Colossians 1:27.